Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here, and I have a little quiz for you. What's the largest organ of the human body? In adults, weighs about 8 pounds on average. And if you don't know, I'll tell you right now, it's the skin. It protects us and, of course, serves as a shield against the outside world. But very simply, it also keeps us from evaporating. Our skin works hard on our behalf, and we need to do what we can to protect it and keep it healthy. And Dr. Dick Niles, dermatologist who practices in Oconomowoc in Watertown, with us once again. And we're always happy to have him share what he knows and his expertise with us. And Dr. Niles, welcome back to the program. Appreciate it very much.
Happy to be here, Larry. Nice intro.
Well, I tell you what, it is the biggest organ in our body, isn't it?
That's absolutely correct. I don't think anybody knows that since medical school, but I guess that's right.
Well, here we are. It's the middle of July. That sun is really feeling strong. What should we do routinely to protect our skin?
Well, I think there's three things that we should do. First of all is pay attention to the time of day. And if you have to be out at noon or 1 o'clock or, let's say, between 9 and 5, then make sure that you have some sunscreen on and try and get some breaks in the shade once in a while. But if you're out taking a walk for 20 minutes at 7:30 in the morning, I don't think you really need to be too concerned about it, or 7:30 at night. So I don't like the idea of putting on sunscreen every day, all the time. I like to use it when I'm going to really be out in the sun and I have a chance to get burned. But with the time of day, I think that's an important issue. And then clothing, there are lots of new pieces of clothing that are for like rash guard shirts and sun protective things that one can wear. And so many kids are wearing long sleeve shirts to go swimming just because it's actually cooler.
Yeah.
Feels cooler when you're in the air. I've been wearing those for the last couple of years, kayaking and to do some paddleboarding and other things, and they're really great, and I feel terrific in them. So, and then the sunscreen, at probably a number 30 is most appropriate for most everybody. Usually we don't have to go higher in the number, or it doesn't do much good to go lower in the number. So I think those things are the important stuff.
Is there are there parts of the skin that should we be more concerned about in terms of covering and so forth?
Well, since sun causes wrinkles and sun makes us look older, I think it's most important to do that for some of the spots that you might have in the sun or that you might be worried about cosmetically being important. And I think one of the spots that we might miss is the back of the hands, which can sort of reveal how old you look. I think everybody would know that, I better put some sunscreen on my face, but, remember the back of your neck and remember your hands and forearms. I think those are important things. And then if you're going to be walking on the beach, remember the top of those feet because they can get pretty burnt sometimes. Then lastly, with those males, but some females, as you start to get bald, you may think that you have all the hair that you used to have up there, but you're mistaken. And with a short haircut or getting bald, you probably will get sunburned a bunch of times before your brain engages.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sort of in that boat. I like to wear a white cap, actually, when I'm out, and especially playing golf or something where you're out a few hours.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Caller, by the way, you can join in if you have a question or comment for our guest today. Dr. Dick Niles, dermatologist, practices in Oconomowoc in Watertown. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can post a question or comment, maybe even a photo, on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Caller George wonders if an older person, let's say in their 60s or 70s, who has had previous bouts of skin cancer, does that person need to keep protecting their skin? Has all the damage already been done earlier in life, or could new damage cause problems as well?
New damage, new sun exposure can cause damage as well. So although it is probably true that we get a lot of sun exposure from when we're kids and don't realize it, or sunscreens weren't invented yet, or for some other reason you're stupid because you're 14. Yeah, there are a bunch of reasons that that might happen. I think we need to be protective as time goes on also. And I think I've seen that many of my patients, as they start to be a little bit smarter about the sun, will have fewer and fewer sun damage spots as the years go on, understanding that maybe the sun damage that you get today will affect you 20 years from now. But if you're 50, that's still 70, and there's no reason that you're not going to be on the planet then. So I think we all have to be a little bit wiser along the way, and that will always be good for us.
We got a Facebook question from Scott, who says, as a pilot, I fly at very high altitudes, 38,000 to 43,000 feet. What can I do to protect my skin?
I don't think that the I think there is a higher incidence of skin cancer and sun damage spots in pilots. Window glass does filter out the UVB light for the most part, and that's the one that causes the sunburn and the skin cancers. But it doesn't filter out the UVA light. That's just a different wavelength, and so one can't really get tanned through it, but you can sort of get wrinkly. It's a deeper penetrating wave. Certainly, and I don't really know this, but I would think that pilots should be wearing some sunscreen on their forearms and on their hands and on their faces. I'm sort of surprised that it's not built into the windshield somehow, but I don't know the answer to that.
We have Sue in southern Wisconsin on board here with a question. Hi, Sue. Thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you for having me.
But yes, what's on your mind?
Go ahead, Sue.
Well, we have a quick question. Our adolescent son has developed hives that don't seem to be going away. This is his second bout since he was very small. And they seem to come on spontaneously in the middle of the allergy season this spring along with a cold. And they've gotten better, but he can't quite seem to shake them, and it seems like 6 weeks is a long time for him to be managing them, and he's ready to move on.
Damn.
Okay, so an individual hive, if you circle that hive, is that spot gone tomorrow?
It's gone probably within 2 hours.
Okay, so that is hives. The definition of hives is a non-scaly, bumpy, mosquito-like-looking rash that lasts for a few hours and then goes away.
Correct.
Oftentimes that is triggered by some virus infection that then your body's immune system responds in a funny way, and you have these hives that go on for days or weeks. Sometimes if people have seasonal allergies, they're sort of jacking up their whole immune system, so their nose is runny, but just imagine your whole body is sort of runny on the inside. You're sort of your whole immune system is on guard. Do the antihistamines like Zyrtec or Allegra, do they take care of the problem when he takes those medicines?
They seem to, and he has gotten better. We're just hoping they completely leave him, and they haven't done that yet, even though we seem to be easing out of the allergy season for him.
Well, I think that some people take with seasonal allergies with a runny nose will take an antihistamine the whole time. There are no important side effects from them. I'm not sure that we're ever going to figure out what happened with this episode.
Sure.
And all you can do is say, well, so you're going to take the antihistamines for a few more weeks.
Very good.
Yep.
All right. I appreciate your time a lot.
Yeah. Sure. Thank you, Sue, for calling. And let's turn to Lori in Hale's Corners. Hi, Lori.
Hi. It's so funny. My birthday is today.
Happy birthday.
I'm 78.
Happy birthday.
And I've lost about maybe 30 pounds of weight recently, and I'm crinkly. I don't know how to explain it, but it's not wrinkles, but it's crinkles.
Other places.
Your face or other places, Lori?
Yes.
all over, huh?
Yeah, pretty much so. Face and neck and arms. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And I also have some whiter spots that are kind of flat in between the crinkles on my arms, that I see on my arms. What the heck would that be all about?
Okay. Well, the white spots, when we're in the sun, the skin can be miscolored. And it could be miscolored darker, which that's what we call a freckle. Or it could be miscolored and be light. And think of that as maybe being a negative freckle. So on your arm, you may have four different colored skin. On the inside of your arm, you have your normal color, which isn't in the sun. On the top part of your arm, let's say you have tan skin, and then you have some darker freckles and some negative freckles, and that's just the way that your skin has decided to respond to the sun. There's not really anything that one can do about that. Now that your skin doesn't fit anymore, I think was what you're saying, when earlier in life, when you were pregnant, you had that big expanded belly skin, and then afterwards, for many people, that skin retracts and gets back to normal, and you can't really tell that you've had that huge abdomen that went away. But as we get older, those elastic forces are not there as much, and we tend to have not only wrinkles because of sun exposure and jeans and age and cigarettes, but then with weight loss, we will tend to be looking wrinkly because there's not as much elasticity left. There are some, let's say, lasery kinds of things that can be done to tighten skin up, and Retin-A can help tighten things up a little bit.
So should I gain 30 pounds?
No. No, probably not.
I think that's not a good idea. If you gain 5 pounds in muscle, that would be good, but not fat.
There you go. Thank you, Lori, for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Dr. Nick Niles, dermatologist practicing in Oconomowoc in Watertown, our guest today, as we talk with him about your skin and its health. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hope you'll stay with us right through the 90 minutes today, because a little bit later on, 11:45, Rick Cini of FairCompare.com comes by to talk about travel, air travel. He's got some great island getaways that won't break the bank. So I hope you'll stay tuned for a fun and informative visit with Rick Cini. Right now, good visit with Dr. Dick Niles, talking about your skin, and especially zeroing in a little bit on the sun issues, but certainly a broad range of topics relating to dermatology. And great to have him along. Thank you for listening in. I had a Facebook question from Julie in Muskego, who said, most sunscreen has benzone in it. Is this bad? What is benzone or avobenzone? What are these things?
Well, all sunscreens are going to be chemical in nature, except for those that are, maybe there are some natural ones, and if they have let me just say that this more specifically. If there's a number on it, that's SPF number, let's say that the sunscreen has a number 30 on it. That means if you can go out for 10 minutes and then start to burn with a number 30, you could go out for 30 times that, for 300 minutes before you start to burn. So when those numbers are on there, they are pretty good, reliable numbers. So whether you have a sunscreen that is sort of all natural, or you have a mineral-based one, which is basically putting on reflective minerals on your skin, like zinc oxide paste that one might use if you're skiing. And in the past, I know there have been different colors of zinc oxide, so somebody would have a blue nose or some stripes or something like that. Or the traditional sunscreens that are on the shelf, and all those are going to be more man-made chemical kinds of things. No one's been able to show that they're harmful to humans or infants or anybody. So I don't think that's a problem with having it be a, quotes, chemical.
Someone asked, called in and said, you did mention some shirts, clothing that you say is good to wear in the sun. And could you repeat what that was?
Well, when you are a surfer or a wakeboarder, oftentimes people will wear a rash RASH Guard shirt, just so you don't rub on the board or on the inner tube or something like that. And those shirts are available, widely available for people that want to wear something long, even if they're working out in the gym or in the water. I'm not sure what they're made out of. They're obviously not made out of cotton, and they dry real fast. So those things are readily available. And I think anything that you wear that's long is tight enough, woven tightly enough, so it just won't let much sun in.
We have a Facebook question from Nick who says, I'm 40 years old and I have acne. Is there anything I can do about it?
No, you're out of luck. No, yeah. No, we can. Yeah, actually, we can do something about it. Every patient with acne can be taken care of. Whether you're 15 with a few pimples or 18 with a back full of terrible acne or an adult that continues to have acne, we have many things that can be helpful. We have oral antibiotics, which will help the pimply part and the cystic part. We have Retin-A, vitamin A derivatives that help make the cells that line the pore less sticky. And with those two kinds of ideas, we can help 98% of acne. For someone who's 40, I would at least talk about the use of Accutane on our first visit, because that's a drug that you take for 20 weeks and 90% of people never get acne again, and the side effects are pretty minimal. The drug's been out for 30 years and we don't have any new things to report, which is pretty unusual for a medication.
Very good. And finally, another question. Here's an email one from Mark. Is it okay to cut off skin tags yourself?
I think the answer is probably yes. We injure ourselves all the time, quite a bit. And if you had a skin tag or two that's in the way and you can snip it off with a scissors that you put a little alcohol on, again, I think we do a lot more harm to ourselves in a lot of other ways than cutting off a little skin tag.
Steve in Slinger has a question for you. Hi, Steve. Thank you for calling.
Hello, Steve. How are you?
Good.
I have a question. This actually deals with my wife, but she's at work right now. She's a nurse practitioner in family practice. And for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 months, she's been having problems with contact dermatitis. And she's gone to a dermatologist, and they did patch testing, and they did a couple of biopsies, and they have not been able to determine what is causing this. And it's really made her life difficult because she can't sleep very well because she's so itchy and so on.
Where's the rash?
It's on her back, and it's like on her knees.
First of all, I'm not going to buy the contact dermatitis thing right away if it's on her back, unless you're putting something on there.
Well,
what can she get in touch with?
Yeah, well, she has done a lot of research. She thought it might be cellulitis, or not cellulitis, the stuff where you're allergic to gluten. And they tested that, and that came back negative. But then the dermatologist said he looked at the biopsy again, and it looks to him like it might be an allergy to a medication. And she has had back surgery, and they put in some hardware in her back for a fusion, and that was titanium, and they tested that because that was also a concern that she might have a metal allergy, but that came back negative. So right now, she also has an appointment in Chicago for October with a specialist in contact dermatology, or dermatitis, I should say, but she's really at her wit's end right now. This is really causing her a lot of distress.
Sometimes the way that I would approach this is to say, and let's say I'm the dermatologist that has done these things. I would say, okay, I'm thinking contact dermatitis.
Right.
And then I treat her for contact dermatitis. I do all kinds of tests for contact dermatitis, and I'm looking at contact dermatitis, contact dermatitis, contact dermatitis. Wait a minute. Maybe I have the wrong diagnosis to start with.
Right.
And the pathology, the biopsy won't help you at all. Say, well, this is all in some inflamed skin. Well, that doesn't get us any place.
Right.
And we do a bunch of tests, and they're negative. So I guess I wonder if you think it's contact dermatitis and you go see a specialist in contact dermatitis, that you're going to be down a path that just takes you that way.
Right.
And so I'm not sure what to tell you to do or where to go or what to do, but I would get some other ideas.
Get a second opinion, you're asking that. You're
saying. But I'm not sure that sitting in the second opinion from the contact dermatitis people are going to be it.
No.
Because what are you putting, if you have a rash on your back and you don't put anything on your back, and it's not the, and it's not right around where those rods were, how can that be contact dermatitis?
Right.
Yeah, just by definition.
Well, according to what she has read and what the other guy, the other dermatologists have said, it does not necessarily always occur in the spot where the contact is.
Well, it should almost always, though. I mean, can you get struck by a meteor? Yeah, but no. It's going to be where she's in contact with it, and it might be other places.
So what's your recommendation then, Dr. Niles?
Well, I think that you should talk with another, you know, maybe you want to go to Chicago and see the contact dermatitis people. Maybe there's another dermatologist in your area that just you just want to talk to and get a different take on it.
Yeah, yeah. So a second, kind of another opinion,
yeah.
It sounds like,
yeah.
Is
yeah.
What we need.
Maybe outside the contact dermatitis sphere of influence.
All right. Good luck, Steve. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. We have John and Cashton up next. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning.
Morning, John. You sound like you're happy. What's the temperature up there?
Let me see what to say in the car. 89.
Oh, well then, okay. Well, you're not as you're about as happy as the rest of us.
Yeah.
The question I have is, I have these little brown spots, and I'm 71, and they come and go in the back of my hand. I notice that they'll come and go. They look like little blood blisters, but they disappear after, five days or a week.
Okay, well, are you sure they're not purple and not brown?
Well, they may be purple.
So are you on blood thinners?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. So those are dings. So you're just bumping your skin. Your skin's thin because you didn't use that sunscreen that I talked about earlier on your hands when you were 25 years old, and so the skin gets thin. You have those blood vessels that are sort of laying like little worms under the skin. They're not protected by the leather or the fat that's under the skin. And then you just bump it a little bit, and you ooze out a little bit of blood, and then that takes a week or two to go away.
So there you go. And nothing to worry about there?
Nothing really? To worry about. Just, you know, looks bad and makes you look 71 years old.
There you go. Thanks, John, for calling. And Elizabeth in Madison. Hello.
Hello. Hi. I am in my early 30s, and now I'm starting to see a few age spots come on my face and the back of my hands. And I have a prescription for Retin-A that I haven't really been using, and I'm wondering, it's for adult acne, but I don't really seem to need it that much. And I'm wondering if Retin-A can help with the age spots on the back of my hand and my face. There's just a few, but they're starting to really bother me.
Okay. So there are no such things as age spots. There are no such things as liver spots. They're not from the liver. They're not from age. They're only from the sun. So they're all freckles from the sun. Some could be big. Some could be small. Retin-A can do three things. Besides helping with acne, unclogging the hair follicle, it does three things that are cosmetically important. It can reduce wrinkles, it can even out pigmentation, and it can get rid of precancerous spots. It can sort of normalize the skin. So using Retin-A would be a great idea on all of us, or creamy Retin-A, which is Renova, which is a lot nicer to use. But using Retin-A, like overnight, and sunscreen if we're going to be out in the sun, would be a great way to keep looking younger. If you have individual spots, let's say you have just three spots on the back of your hand, it's pretty difficult for the Retin-A or for the bleaching creams to really do a good job with that. But what I like to do in the dead of winter when the sun's not out, we're not going to be in the sun, your skin's real light, is to lightly freeze those with liquid nitrogen, and they just peel off and go away, and the little spot's gone. And I'll do this on my expanded forehead and on the back of my hands in October, November, or January when I'm not going to be in the sun, and it erases them real nicely. There are also lasers that can be used, and they can be very effective also. So individual spots, maybe some liquid nitrogen in the wintertime, bigger areas, the Retin-A, or a bleaching cream or both. But if you want to keep looking younger, then using the Retin-A or the creamy Retin-A would be great too.
All right.
Now I have a prescription for Retin-A Micro 0.1%. Would you recommend like a different version of Retin-A Micro or the regular Retin-A for that reason?
Well, there are generics, and I think that that the micros just went generic.
Oh, okay.
Now, the problem with generics is that pills are great because you make the pills, you know what the pills are, and they're all equivalent. Generic creams and gels may not be equivalent to brand names. They may be, but we don't know. No one does any testing to see if they are effective. They only, if you want to make up a tube of Retin-A, you could take a crystal of Retin-A and put it in whipped cream, and that would be the same thing as a ground-up, micronized cream. So creams are a little bit difficult. The nicest one to use is Renova if you're using it for cosmetic reasons. And all these things are expensive to some degree, but they do a good job.
Okay, yeah, I have my insurance covers it for the acne reason, and I wanted to stick with, like, the Retin-A brand.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter, like, if it's the Retin-A cream or the Retin-A micro, they're all kind of good.
They're all kind of good. The problem is that the stronger they are, the 0.1 versus the 0.04, is going to be more harsh.
Okay.
And then you may not be able to use it as much, and then you're not getting the effect as much, and then have you really saved any money?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very, very much.
Yep, sure. Thanks. Thanks a lot for calling, Elizabeth. Appreciate it. We had an email from Jeanette who says just about her fingernails, the nails on both of my thumbs are ridged, and there's a vertical recession line, a recessed line, running from the nail bed to the tip. My other nails are normal. So it's their thumbs are ridged.
Yep. That's an aging process. So, Larry, look at your thumb. Can you see any vertical ridges starting on your thumbnails? I have some on mine.
I have some, yeah.
Okay. So that's an age thing where we get these ridges that grow out. And I think vertical is the right way to say it.
Yeah.
So look at the end of your nail and think about that as being like corduroy. It's thicker and thicker, thicker and thinner and thicker and thinner. And on those thinner parts, as that nail grows out and wears down, you can sometimes get a split that's along one of those vertical corduroy thinned areas. And you just have to keep your nails shorter. You might want to lubricate your nails with some real greasy thing every night. And if they're terrible, then you might want to put on some acrylic to sort of smooth them out and make them a little harder. But as soon as you make them harder that way, you'll make them more brittle, and they'll tend to crack, and they'll go the other way horizontally as they grow out.
We have Don in Fond du Lac next with a question. Hi, Don. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Doctor. Hey, thanks for the show.
Sure.
I'm calling with a concern about my wife. Actually, two problems. The one I explained to the screener was she was in that garden, working in the garden, and she developed not a burn on her back, but she was definitely out in the sun a little bit too long. And in that area where it was overexposed to the sun, she developed a rash, which is almost like a hive-sized bump, but they seem to be very persistent and very itchy. And she's just using kind of hydrocortisone on it now to try to relieve the itching. And I was curious if there's anything she can do to kind of to help that along.
Yep. It sounds like she might have sun poisoning. And if she was out in the sun for the first big exposure of the year, our word is polymorphous light eruption, many shapes from getting exposed to the sun. So it can be hivey, it can be bumpy, it can be just a blotchy rash, it can even be pimply and blistery. So this is probably the sun poisoning, and she could take an antihistamine like Zyrtec or Allegra, which are both 24-hour anti-itch pills, and Allegra doesn't make you sleepy. Zyrtec might make you sleepy a little bit, but they're 24 hours. They cut down on itch a lot. The over-the-counter hydrocortisone cream is fine. It's only there to help calm down the rash. It doesn't necessarily do anything for itch. You could use calamine lotion or Caladryl lotion. And then as she gradually tans, and this problem should go away over the course of the rest of the summer, there is a drug called Plaquenil, which one can take for sun sensitivity, and there's an ingredient in the sunscreen. UVA light is the important part, and the sunscreen ingredient called Parsol 1789, which is found in some sunscreens. That's not the brand name. It's just that's the ingredient, can be helpful at prevention.
I see. Thank you. And then the second problem she has, a few months ago she developed what looked like just darker spots on her lower legs, and they also itched. And since then, the darker spots have kind of disappeared, but the itching remains. They weren't real dark spots, and they were kind of maybe a quarter, three-eighths of size in shape and diameter. But the itching is still there, and the spots are gone. I was wondering if you would know anything about that.
I guess what I would have her make sure that she's not drying her legs out too much, and then take the Allegra or the Zyrtec for the next week and just get rid of the itchy sensation from within.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. Thanks, Don, for calling. Appreciate it. I had a Facebook question from Sue. She said, I had a mind-boggling conversation with my 17-year-old nephew who wanted to get sunburned because, as he said, after it peels, my skin is tanned underneath. He thought getting burned was a prerequisite to being tanned. Being a mere aunt, I'm not sure he listened to me when I explained how wrong that attitude was. Could you suggest a reference, probably online is best for a teenager, where I can direct my nephew so I can correct his misperception?
Well, he sure is full of baloney, isn't
he? Yeah.
In fact, getting the burn will then set you up so that you don't tan very easily, because now you have all that brand new skin. If you would have, you know, only gone out for a quarter as long, you'd already be starting on the tan, and that would be better. An online reference for something that is completely obvious to the rest, to the 99% of the world, I don't know that I have that in my brain. But I suppose you could go to the skin cancer site for the American Academy of Dermatology, and maybe they have a site for dummies. I don't know.
There's actually the CDC has some basic information that I have up on my Facebook page too. It's just cdc.gov, and you can go there, and I think that information about skin cancer is pretty basic and fairly well explained. So
good.
That's another place to go. Facebook question from Tyler. I'm 30, and I've got a skin condition going on my face, which my doctor says is caused by my hairy areas, a mustache, beard, eyebrows, producing too much oil. It causes redness and itching and peeling and looks terrible. I've been getting treatment with a steroid, but I can only use it 10 days at a time, 10 days on, 10 days off. I was wondering if there's anything I've done or eaten that could be causing this, and if there are ways to reduce it. The condition
Sure.
only developed in the last 2 years, and before that I never had it.
Okay. So the first idea is that the last statement is, well, I never had it before. How can I have it now? And I'll just leave that hanging because that's obviously, of course, true. You never had it before you had it. So things develop as time goes on. But you have localized dandruff. Our word is seborrheic dermatitis. And dandruff is maybe a little bit of psoriasis, or psoriasis is maybe a lot of dandruff. But scalp, in and around the ears, eyebrows, next to the nose, under the beard, armpits, and groin. And in fact, it's the most common rash on the penis is dandruff. So we can have mild cortisones that can help, and most people get by with that just fine. But if you need to use it every day to help with cutting down on the fast-growing extra skin, it's not dry, it's fast-growing extra skin, then dandruff shampoos can be pretty helpful, and in the summertime that wouldn't be too harsh to use on your face. And there are some non-cortisone creams like Protopic or Elidil, or there are some vitamin D derivative creams that can be helpful. So there are other things that can be done. Those are prescriptions.
We have Doris in Rice Lake next with a question for you. Hi, Doris.
Hello. Thank you for your show. I'm learning a ton. I have a question about my husband. He works outside a lot, and he never uses a sunblock, and I always do. I burn easily. And he kind of thinks it's for sissies. And, I mean, he would never write to my own, say it that way, but he doesn't use it because he doesn't burn. And he thinks that because he doesn't burn, it's not really causing any problems. I kind of don't think that's really true. Do you have anything brilliant I can back up my argument with?
Okay, you want a click and clack kind of answer, it appears here.
it doesn't have to be brilliant.
I think that if you are, so let's say the people that are going to get in trouble with the sun are going to be the Irish cowboys, which have light skin and they're outside a lot. But the Italian bakers who have dark skin and they're inside a lot probably aren't going to have much trouble. So you could say about yourself, well, I'm real light, and if I go in the sun and I get burned, I'm going to have a lot of trouble. But if he's not getting burned, about the only thing that he's going to get into trouble with is he's going to look older. So I think that would be the only real thing. I don't know that sunscreens are just for sissies, but I think if you're not burning, then I don't think you're doing any real harm, except he might look a lot older than you look soon.
Yeah.
So skin cancer that doesn't happen with people who don't burn?
Not only, but it's a lot less likely in someone who's darkly complected.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks a lot for calling. Kelly emailed in on, and it has having to do with Retin-A. She says Retin-A can have serious side effects for pregnant women and their fetuses, and I think one of the callers was a woman of childbearing age that we probably need to address that.
Okay. When you go to a meeting, so Retin-A has been out for 40 years, probably. There are no reports of Retin-A causing any trouble. Retin-A is converted to vitamin A in the skin, and it's a tiny, tiny amount. Now, when you look at the label, you'll find out that it says, oh, you better not use this in pregnancy. When you go to the meetings, the hotshots in acne will say, you know, we don't think it's a problem, but tell your patients to stop using Retin-A when they're pregnant. I think that after 40 years, we can get rid of the idea that Retin-A is going to cause any problems at all, because no problems have formed so far. And it's converted to regular vitamin A in the skin, so it's not a problem.
And with that, we are out of time. Dr. Niles, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
We zoomed through again, Larry. It was fun.
All right. Dr. Dick Niles, dermatologist who practices in Oconomowoc and Watertown. One of our regular guests here as we talk with him. And tell you what, coming up, we're gonna switch gears a little bit here and talk with you about air travel, primarily with Rick Seney of FairCompare.com. Stay tuned.